Reading from 2 Kings, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 8. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You may have noticed that there's quite a lot in the reading about blindness and seeing and what people saw. And the theme that I'd like to talk about tonight is on spiritual blindness. But before I begin, let us have some time of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us such a richness in your word. Father, that you have given us the truth of who you are and who we are in your word. I thank you, Lord God, that your people have captured your word over the generations and that has brought it to us this day. Father, that we might know and truly begin to understand the greatness and the majesty of you, the great God. Father, I pray that you would give me a spirit of boldness to declare your truths tonight, that your church, all of us, Lord, would have our eyes opened to who you are and who we are in you. And I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. So as I said, you know, the talk tonight is based on spiritual blindness. And in the reading that we heard, it spoke of Aram, a place called Aram. And that's modern day Syria for most of us. So we heard that the king of Syria was confused because all of his battle plans that he was pulling together seemed to be thwarted. Every time he went to do something and to win a battle, that somehow the king of Israel knew and had prepared in advance. And so the king of Syria was completely confused by this whole situation. So he gathered his army officers together and said, "Which one of you is it? Who's the spy in the camp?" And it's understandable, isn't it? Because he would look to his own group of men, first of all, to think, somebody must be spilling the beans. It sounds a bit like an Agatha Christie plot, doesn't it? But one of the officers had obviously heard somewhere along the line about Elisha. And he was brave enough to say, it's not one of us, we're not the ones doing it, it's Elisha the prophet. And so the thing that really amazes me is that the king of Syria then says, we're going to capture him. And I think that's like completely ironic there, isn't there? That he's just been told that the prophet is knowing all of his battle plans in advance, and yet he says, let's go and capture him, as if he's not going to know that as well. And I think, you know, is he crazy or something? You know, just really missing it. So it didn't occur to him, obviously. So he sent his armies out to go and find out where Elisha was. And obviously they found him. And then in the dead of night, the king of Syria took all his armies, his chariots and his horses, and went and camped around Elisha. And I think very often for us in our daily lives, it feels like the enemy is camped all around us, doesn't it? Sometimes when we've got something that we really want to happen, or we're hoping will happen, and we take a step forward, and then it feels like this brick wall comes right into your face and pushes you back, and you think, oh, hold on a minute, what was all that about? I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. Or I thought this was for the good, and we feel like we are boxed in and the enemy is all around us trying to prevent whatever it is that we want to bring to fruition, trying to block our successes. So Elisha's servant got up in the morning and obviously saw this overwhelming sight of all the chariots and the horses and panicked. And he said, what are we going to do, Elisha, Elisha, what are we going to do? Because he could see in his natural eyes everything that was out there. They were completely outnumbered. And he panicked. And he went running to Elisha to say, what are we going to do? What should we do? And that is completely natural reaction. I would guess that if we were in that same position and we sort of like opened the door, the front door, and saw a load of barricaded people, we'd probably run back in and think, what on earth is going on? Because when we see things in the natural, our natural response is to think, what is going on? What are we going to do? And he felt outnumbered. He was terrified and went running off to Elisha. Because it's a natural response, because we have become accustomed to operating in our natural senses, the five senses, for the sight, for the smell, for the touch, for the taste, and what we hear. This is how we operate, isn't it, most of our lives in our daily walk. We believe everything that comes in through those senses. So the natural reaction is to run off in panic, and that's exactly what the servant did. It can feel like that for us, can't it? When we have a plan or we're trying to do something, sometimes we feel like we're boxed in. And it doesn't matter what we try to do, that things just come crumbling down and we think, what on earth is going on? Something's not right here. I'm faced with this problem or that problem. Or I get this bill that drops through the letterbox, but my bank account's like that. It's all in the natural, isn't it? And we have these natural reactions to what everything comes into our body and tells us, because we've become so reliant on our five senses instead of the supernatural. Elisha's servant obviously thought that they were completely outnumbered and went running back in fear and trembling to Elisha, completely overwhelmed and thinking, what are we going to do? You notice, I don't know whether you noticed from the reading, that Elisha was not fazed at all. He wasn't worried about it. He didn't say, where, let me see. He didn't run out in a panic. There's no talk in the scripture of Elisha having a meltdown because of what he saw. It just wasn't there, was it? He didn't see it. And that's because he knew the God that he trusted in very well. He obviously saw with his own eyes what looked out there, but he also knew that God was with him and God had a plan. So he didn't go into a panic. He trusted the God that he served, fully aware of God's supernatural ability to take hold of that situation. I wonder whether we can say the same thing ourselves. Do we see in the supernatural or the natural? When we're faced with life's challenges, is our default position to just say, oh, that's hard, and whimper back off and think, oh, well, you know, it's a bit of an obstacle, so I better not go any further? Or we meet life's challenges and, you know, we just sort of run back to God and say, do you know what this is happening to me? Of course God knows what's happening to all of us. But we retreat, don't we? But that's not what Elisha did. He didn't retreat. If and when we react like the servant, when we shy away from a situation because of how it appears in the natural, the devil has a field day. He loves it, doesn't he? Because what has happened is that instead of believing the supernatural, trusting in the God that we know of, that we can read about in this word, the God of love, the God of promises, when we shy away and we think, oh, this is too difficult, I can't do that, God's not going to help me, God's not going to be here, he's too busy saving the world, he won't want to be interested in my problems. That's not God. The devil delights in that deceit. And that's what he's been doing since the Garden of Eden when he tempted Adam and Eve. He deceived them. And he's doing it today. That's his only thing that he can do, is deceive people. And deceiving God's people about who God is and who we are is one of his favorite tactics. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really fed up of the devil gaining ground. Really, really hacks me off when I hear about the difficulties, the sicknesses that people are going through. It really rises up in me that I get so angry that I've got to do something about this. God has given me this passion to heal people, and I can't get rid of it because I know what his word says and I believe his word. And that's what God wants us to do, is to believe him more than we believe what our five senses are telling us. Elisha told his servant not to be afraid. Now the servant probably thought, are you getting this? Are you really seeing how big that army is out there? Do you really see how big that mountain is? Do you really see how big my bills are? How great my debts are? It's that same thing, isn't it? Elisha and his servant. And the servant was clearly distressed. He was full of fear and doubt. And Elisha prayed, didn't he? He prayed to God and he said, Lord, open the eyes of the servant. And he didn't mean his physical eyes, clearly, because his physical eyes had seen all the armies. He was talking about his spiritual eyes. And that's something different, isn't it? That's something that's deep in here. When you know that you know that you know. You might not be able to explain it, but you just know. And that's how it is. So Elisha prayed. And in verse 17 we read, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Isn't that amazing? Amazing that God allowed him to see that. But truly amazing. His eyes must have been out on stalks at the gid. Whoa, what is this? And then you can see why Elisha hadn't panicked, because he knew the God that he served. But the amazing thing is that those chariots and God's army didn't turn up when the servant saw them. They were there all along. And this is it, church, that we need to understand. God's army is already there. But we haven't got our spiritual eyes open to see it, because we're just using these, we're just using those five senses, instead of seeing God's army all around us. God's army at the front, at the back, at the sides. He's there defending us. He's there inside of us. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? That the God who created this whole world and universe is there with us, is here with us. We need to see with our spiritual eyes and believe in that, believing God's word more than we do with our physical eyes. And that's not going to be an easy thing to happen, isn't it? It won't just change overnight. It's going to take real training, so that when you're in a situation where you think, this is tough, I'm not feeling very comfortable about this, that you remind yourself what God's word says about who you are and about that situation. And you believe God for the best, because you are his treasure. You are his delight. And if God knows, and if your Father knows how to give gifts to you, how much more does your Father in heaven know to give to you? When people look at their own situation, they can often feel tired, weary, depressed, a failure, stupid, 101 emotions that we as humans can feel. But there's so much in God's word that tells us who we are. And this is what you need to tell yourself of who you are. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul said, "Praise the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings from heaven." Isn't that wonderful? So when we look at the natural circumstances, it's hard to realize those words connect, don't they? That we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have to remind ourselves of what's in God's word, what he says, not about what anybody else says or what the devil tries to niggle in your ear about who you are. You need to say, shut up, you're defeated, this is who I am. And I'm going to give you some scriptures that just to confirm to you of who you are in God. We don't need to look at our circumstances or look in the mirror and think, I feel like this or I feel like that. We all do. But you've got to shake it off and remind yourself of what God says about you. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus never sinned, but became sin so that we became righteous. So whenever we're riddled with guilt and condemnation, just remind yourself of that scripture. Jesus became sin so that we didn't take the sin, we became righteous. So you can stand there and say, when that guilt and condemnation comes all over you, you say, no, I am the righteousness of God. And tell yourself that until that becomes a greater reality than anything that the devil or the world might try to say to you. Another wonderful scripture, Ephesians 4:23-24. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God. That's hard to take in, isn't it? Really challenging to take in. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God. All you need to do every day is to stand in the mirror and say, let the Spirit change my way of thinking and make me into a new person. I was created to be like God. Make it personal to you so that it becomes such a reality. 1 John 4:15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. How great's that? That you're living in God and God's living in you. So you don't have to say, come God be with us, because you know that God's in you. So wherever you go, God goes. And that's the relationship that you have, that you can talk to God wherever you are, whichever circumstances. God is in you. Amazing scriptures. God lives on the inside of us. So how are we portraying that, church, I wonder? Just might want to reflect on how your week has been. Do you think you reflected that the awesome God of this world was living in you? Or did you look and appear to others a bit more downtrodden and wearisome so they think, why bother serving that God because you're just like the rest of us? That's not what it was intended to be like. We have fallen so far away. If you think about how the disciples lived, the power and the authority that they had, it's exactly the same today, but we've let it get stolen. We have to take back what is rightfully ours. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy who says that we're defeated and remind him that he was the one that was defeated. We know the truth and the truth sets us free. That's the key thing, isn't it? You know the truth. You just got to remind yourself of it every so often. So if it has to be a daily, post it on your mirror, post it on the back of your door, post it on your dashboard in the car, that you are the righteousness of God, that God dwells in you, that you have the power and the authority. Just tell yourself these, or get some tapes or whatever it is to build up your faith so you know who you are in Christ. Not who you are in the natural, because we all have the natural. I'm not trying to say that we pretend that we're something we're not. We all have these situations that face us, but we are more than conquerors in Christ. Do we act like that, or do we just whimper off like a wounded soul and think, oh God, this is so hard? Which we all do from time to time. We all do. We've got to give ourselves a bit of a kick up the backside and get on with it. Get to the place where God wants us to be. Jared Hurd said, Jesus hasn't come just to eradicate physical blindness. He has come to eradicate spiritual blindness. God wants us to see him. The truth is that Jesus defeated Satan. Colossians 2 verses 10 and 11 tells us that in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. That's the Jesus we serve. He is the head, the power and the authority. And that means that nothing that the enemy can throw at us is going to thwart God's plans. You've got to believe that. You have to truly believe that. That God's plans cannot be thwarted. God wiped out the charges that were made against us. He took them away and he nailed them to the cross. And Colossians 2 verse 15 says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." That's great, isn't it? He made a public spectacle of them. Isn't that fantastic? You just remind yourself of that. When you're feeling really battered down, just laugh at what happened to the enemy, because he's trying to deceive us, and you know the truth now. You know that you have got the power and authority that God has given to you. He dwells in you. And you just remind the enemy that he's defeated, so he can get away with all his lies and his deceit, because you're not having none of it. You know the truth. Do we behave like we have the victory, like Elisha did, or are we identifying with Elisha's servant? That's the question, isn't it? We have to take the gospel message. We are God's church. And our great commission is to take the message, the gospel message, out to all the world. And where it is preached, there should be signs and wonders. The supernatural should be evident. And that's got to come through us. We can't just wait for something else or someone else to make it all happen, because God has asked every one of us to make it happen. It's not going to be a winged angel that comes down and goes, da-da, because you are those winged angels. God has put you here to bring all those promises into being. That's what your job is. So Jesus gave us our great commission in Mark 16. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will place hands on people who are ill, and they will get well." That's God saying that. That's God's word there, talking to each one of us. That's what he says, that if you believe in my name, they will do these things. If we're not doing these things and we're God's church, then who else is going to do it? We've got to be the ones that step out, that see somebody that's distraught, that we pray for them wherever they are, that we lay hands on the sick, that we want to see these people's lives transformed. Don't wait for somebody else. We've got to get out the boat, haven't we? We've got to take the chance. But we've come a little bit risk averse, haven't we? We've got quite cozy. Instead of getting out of the boat, taking a chance and being bold for God. God has put something on all of our hearts. Whatever it is for you, whether it's that you want to see a revival, whether you want to see an extension to the church, whether you want to see your bank account full, whether you want a new job, whatever it is, God has put something on your heart that you, only you, are needed for. But we say, oh well, if only this would be in place, if only that would be in place, if only I had a better job, if only I had this, if only I had that. And we put all these if onlys in place. So very often God gives us step one, of that vision or that dream about what we have. But we want to know what steps 2 and 10 are, don't we, before we make a move. But where's the faith in that? Where's the trust in God? If we've got all the ducks lined up, then we'll make a move. There's no faith there, is there? If God has asked you to move, then you move. When you take step 1, then you'll know what step 2 is. Then you'll know what step 3 is. And on goes the journey. And that's where faith comes in, isn't it? Because you might have the great goal over here, but you can't get from here to there. You've got to do it in step 1, step 2, step 3. And that's how God will reveal the way through and forward through the situation. We as God's church want to see people coming to Christ. We want to see the sick healed. We want to see the weak made strong. We want to see the poor rich. We've got to take the blindfolds off and get bold for God. Someone once said, "The eyes are useless if the mind is blind." If your mind's blind, it's probably because you've got the blindfold on and you're not seeing all the promises of God. You've got to believe in this more than your 5 senses are telling you. So let us take off those blindfolds and realize and release the promises of God. He is performing miracles all the time, every day. And God needs us to be the vessels to bring forth those blessings for other people. If someone needs prayer or if someone wants a breakthrough, we have to be the ones that are ready and willing to step forward for God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have chosen us as your people. Father, let us be full of faith and to see as Elisha saw, that we would always know that you are there and your full army is with us. Father, help build up our faith. Help quash our doubts that we know who we are through Jesus Christ and the love that you pour out to us. Father, help us to be a church that is fully on fire for you, filled with your Holy Spirit, that we may walk through our lives, Lord, filled with the light of your love, that other people would want to know who this great God is that we serve. Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ poured out on the cross for us. And we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Thank you for the promises of your word. Help us to take these into our hearts that we would know who we are in you through Christ our Lord. Amen.